The Man in Line, brought to you by NetZeroMatrix.com, the world's leading carbon register and validation ecosystem.
Faster May, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Max Radio. Your chance to have your say. Whatever you want to talk about. Could be something in the news, could be something personal to you. Whatever it is, then by all means, get in touch. Text 166177. Email studio at maxradio.com. You can WhatsApp on 166177. And of course, you're welcome to call 661368 to have your say. Seven minutes past 12. Keith is first with us on Man in Line. Hi, Keith.
Good afternoon, Andy. First time on the Man in Line, so a first for me. Do you want to go ahead with my subject?
By all means, you want to talk about the exercise at Alamein Airport, I think, yesterday. Is that right?
Yeah, of the exercise itself, I mean, fantastic. Great, worthwhile thing to do. What I'm fuming about is the... reports on the news this morning that the airport was shut for just 3 hours. This wasn't actually the case. The remainder of the day, the fire category was reduced to what's called Category 3, which really denied any of the commercial operators to operate. I'm a private pilot. I was a retired airline pilot as well. I actually flew at 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon. Flew off with Tim Glover, who was in the seat with me. The airport was just a ghost town, just the air ambulance and us flying. Just so my question to the airport director would be, although the exercise is a requirement from the CAA, the three-hour test could have been done at a quiet period, maybe on a Saturday afternoon, when there's a lull between flights. To actually shut the airport all day this time of year with people trying to get on and off island, how many people got stuck in Liverpool or across Saturday night because they got, or Sunday because they couldn't get home. There we go. There's my rant. So,
why do you think? I mean, could you hazard a guess as to why that was?
I haven't a clue because I worked as an airline pilot for around about 45 years. I've never experienced in my life an airport being shut all day. Imagine Heathrow or Gatwick or Manchester being shut all day for fire exercises. So my suggestion would have been that this exercise could have been done in small stages with all the services, tested at another appropriate time without any impact on commercial operations. So that would be my question to the airport director. Why was the airport shut for the complete day, effectively? With our island services, absolutely essential. I mean, Saturday was really bad weather, and had that weather been worse, there could have been cancelled ferries, cancelled flights, there would have been knock-on effects further. So there we go, that's my...
Just for the uninitiated, Keith, just repeat that again about the fire category. It was reduced to a level 3. What does that mean?
Well, there are various fire categories which are based on the aircraft operating. So my last aircraft was the Boeing 777, and that generally required a fire category 7. And that category 7 would mean there'd have to be a foam tender, a certain number of fire engines, a certain response rate, geared up to an incident with the 777. As you go down the various categories, the response and the equipment available becomes less and less. I'm not quite sure, without looking it up, what Category 3 means, but certainly, effectively, yesterday afternoon, only general aviation, i.e. light aircraft operations, were allowed, i.e. myself in a full single-engine plane and the air ambulance. But something like ATRs, the Logan operates, EasyJet, would not have been able to operate a Category 3. Therefore, they cancelled all their flights.
We hear all sorts of rumblings. The public hears all sorts of rumblings about the state of the airport. Obviously, they're short of air traffic controllers, I think. Is the short runway operating now or not?
No, it's not. And that yesterday would have been quite useful for me because there's a really strong crosswind from the southwest. And the aircraft I was operating or flying was actually right on its limits. Effectively, the short runway can only be used by things like turboprops. EasyJet couldn't use it, for example. But there might be certain days when that runway could be useful. And I'm not quite sure what the problem is with it. I heard rumours that there may be an issue with the surface. But if it was shut permanently, it could be could create a big disadvantage for operators.
And what's the atmosphere like? What's the morale like amongst the private users, aviation users?
Well, we've started to have further restrictions placed on us, security. Well, that's fair enough regarding access and access with mates who want to come up for a ride. But I can go along with that because it's security is absolutely vital. But I think in general, probably we feel that general aviation isn't particularly well served, it could be a lot better. A friend of mine's trying to set up a flying club on the south side at the moment, and I know that she had a lot of issues last year with planning, trying to get a facility there, and it's ongoing really. But private users, I think TT, the airport were unable to handle a lot of aircraft would have arrived for TT, and they couldn't come. So that would have been a lot of revenue loss for the island. General aviation is still it's a worthwhile revenue stream for the island, so I hope they support it better.
And again, the majority of the public will only ever use the airport two or three times a year, perhaps holiday, perhaps seeing friends or relatives. So they don't get an overall picture of what is happening at the airport. But filtering through, reports just seem that the airport is, and I hesitate to say this, but it's not what it was. Ronald's Way isn't what it was, Keith.
No, I quite agree. I've been here 21 years, and I've seen changes. And I think that with regard to the air traffic controller situation, I know what the figures are. I know one's a personal friend. There should have been foreseen a shortage of controllers, shouldn't have been allowed to happen. And at the end of the day, safety is paramount. So the operation will always default to a safe operation, and that may cause delays. And that, as we've seen, EasyJet's being cancelled because the airports had to shut. There have been effects really since we've been trying to recover from COVID, and that's not really going to help, is it?
Okay.
The brilliant staff at the airport, must say, absolutely fantastic team of guys and girls, and they're absolutely brilliant, always a smile.
Okay, Keith, we appreciate that. Thanks for calling today.
Thanks. I'd love a retraction from the airport director on his statement earlier. Perhaps clarification, please.
Okay, all right, Gary. Keith, a great debut, by the way. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for your time, Andy.
All right, it's 12:15 on Manx Radio. The Isle of Man Airport was closed to the public. Well, for 3 hours, they say, yesterday. You heard what Keith had to say about it. The post-crash crash simulation scenario. They love that word scenario, don't they? Staged to fulfil licensing requirements for the CAA. That's the Civil Aviation Authority. That was staged yesterday. It saw a huge multi-agency response, including teams from Fire and Rescue, the Ambulance Service and the Coast Guard were there yesterday. And also there with a Manx Radio microphone, Siobhan Fletcher.
We are in a dive. We are in a dive. We have lost vertical control.
For most of us, the prospect of a plane crash isn't really something we'd like to think about. It's probably better reserved for the silver screen. And considering there's only about a 1 in a million chance of your plane going down, it's not something we generally worry about. But what if something went terribly wrong? And what if it happened here? This weekend, a post-crash simulation scenario was played out at Ronald's Way. I went down and watched it all play out alongside airport director Gary Cobb. I'm looking at a burnt out aircraft, some fire engines, a bus, another evacuated aircraft, basically, just to set the scene. Can you just talk me through what's happening today and what we're looking at?
Yeah, so an aircraft has come down and crashed, which we're simulating. It's split into multiple parts. So the first part, which is being tested by a fire rig, it was the bit that was on fire. So the airport fire tenders came out and put that out. You've then got another couple of sections with walking wounded and people who are seriously ill. After a period of time, the local fire teams arrived on site, so Isle of Man fire, and they're currently in the process of rescuing, triaging and taking survivors through to the survivor reception centre up in the terminal.
I'm enjoying seeing people being carried out as wounded. So can you just explain to me a little bit about why you're doing this, why it's necessary?
Yeah, so as part of our licence conditions, we have to test our emergency response plans. The idea being that we should be able to cope with any emergency that arises. More importantly, though, our firefighters test on a daily basis, putting out the airport fire in terms of the fire rig. But this is an opportunity to test all of the local authority and all of the other people as well. So it's not very often we actually get opportunity to put it into place with Isle of Man fire, Coast Guard, Manx Care, etc. So this is just a really, really good opportunity to test all components together.
Any thoughts on this? Well, that was the story. They said 3 hours yesterday, that the airport was shut for 3 hours, but Keith said, no, it was closed all day. It was closed all day. They reduced the fire category to Category 3. All commercial flights were cancelled. And just another thing to talk about, next Monday, the infrastructure minister is going to be on Man in Line. Chris Thomas will be on Man in Line. This Friday, Daphne Kane is on from the Climate Change Transformation Board. She's had other posts. Of course, she was children's champion for a while. But Chris Thomas, MHK, will be on a week today, infrastructure minister. Maybe we'll talk about the airport and more. And we've invited Gary Cobb, airport director, to come on Man in Line just to chat us through what's happening at Ronald's Way, if the good news of what's happening in the future. As Keith said, you get the impression all we ever get from Ronald's Way nowadays is bad news. Do you remember that email I got in last week from Alan, who just said Logan Air will only offer assistance, ambulance assistance, to people in wheelchairs? They won't offer my brother, it was William, her brother, who's got a learning disability. They won't assist him through security on and off the plane and collect his luggage. EasyJet always help, but Logan Air aren't. And obviously, the situation at the airport, we've obviously been through COVID. We understand that situation. But where is the airport going? The airport's vital to all of us, just like the sea terminal. It's absolutely vital to communication on the Isle of Man for leisure, for pleasure, and especially for business and commerce. It's a lifeline for us. And Ronald's Way needs to be pristine. It needs to work for all of us. We need to have good connections. So what are your thoughts on this? If you're involved in aviation, particularly private aviation, you heard Keith said they're putting some restrictions on general aviation in the future. So airport matters, by all means. I was a firefighter in North Yorkshire, says Chris. We trained on aircraft, large jets, and at no time was air traffic stopped for our training. We could extinguish big jets. We'd extinguish big jets on active military bases as well. So they felt the need to do it and closed the airport all yesterday. And that's the reason that the FC Isle of Man match took place at 1 o'clock on Saturday, because they had to get Charnock Richard back to Charnock Richard, and they couldn't on Sunday because there were no planes. So that's the reason. But then again, the Ravens did win. What was the overtime bill for the airport simulation? Well, I would guess that's all factored in. As Gary Cobb says, it is a legislative requirement. They have to do that. And it's good that it's done, but closing the whole thing for a full day? I just wonder what your thoughts are. This week, crikey, it's on the way. The majority of the Isle of Man's high school students are going to have a day at home due to the strikes. All five secondary schools are asking a number of year groups not to go in while the NASUWT is staging a walkout. So what does it mean for the parents, the carers, the guardians, who may now need to take time off work? Well, the Deputy Industrial Relations Officer is Damien Warburton, and he said while parents have no statutory rights, they should talk to their employer.
There is no guaranteed right to take time off if you're education, the education of your children is interrupted by strikes. So it is going to be a matter of discussion with the employer. I think if you can reasonably anticipate as a member of staff that your child isn't going to be able to go to school and you've got to make alternative arrangements, my advice would be approach your employer now. It is something that you know is going to happen. You've been given warning that the strike is on. And equally, I would probably say to employers, they should be speaking to their staff saying, do you think you are going to be disrupted by this? And what can we do to try and work around the situation?
Clearly, some employers will be more sympathetic than others.
Well, yes, and that's always the case. And I guess you could also make the point that some employers will be able to be more sympathetic than others. So that, you know, the larger you are, the better resourced you are, I guess you can be much more sympathetic and flexible. And equally, given the nature of the job that people do, it may well be that certain employers could say to their staff, no problem whatsoever with you working for at home for a couple of days. If you're a factory employee, you know, clearly that's not going to be possible.
Obviously, the best advice is to let them know as soon as possible, rather than just sort of on the day ring in and say, sorry, I'm not coming in because the children's teachers are on strike.
Well, yeah, and I think that anyone who does ring on the day saying, oh, by the way, I can't come in, is likely to get a fairly unsympathetic response.
Is this a scenario that the Industrial Relations Service has seen before?
It's not unknown. I think, I mean, the reality is strikes very rarely occur on the Isle of Man, which, you know, has to be a good thing from all points of view. But I'd draw a parallel to what's going on in the UK now. So there are rail strikes. Now, they've been well advertised. People will have known that their travel will be disrupted.
What's your thoughts on this? Are you being affected by this? Are you going to have to take time off work? The strike is Wednesday and Thursday. November 30th, Thursday, December 1st. There's also some next year planned 11th and 12th, Wednesday and Thursday, 11th and 12th of January, and Wednesday and Thursday, the 15th and 16th of February. This just seems to go on and on and on. And obviously it's affecting the students' education, the children's education is being affected by this. And still, absolutely no break in the deadlock. You just wonder when this will actually finish. There are actually going to be picket lines outside schools this coming Wednesday and Thursday. The unions are planning picket lines, which I don't think we've seen that for a long time. I listened to a playback of Laurie Hooper talking to Phil Gorn, says Pat. Mr. Hooper says there's greater scrutiny on government-funded construction contracts. I disagree. Once a contract's awarded, no checks are made on sites. The main contractors build into their tenders NI contributions as per legislation and then subcontract the majority of the works out. And the subcontractors are held down on price. Result that the 13% NI built into the main contractors' tendering isn't paid and is used as profit for the main contractors. The subcontractor will only employ staff as self-employed and most not likely approved tradesmen. The result is health services, I think, are being ripped off. The government needs to inspect all of the government-funded or council contracts to ensure the main contractor or subcontractors are complying with regulations, says Pat. Well, Pat, if you've got some information about that, if you have some paperwork to verify all that, by all means, get in touch. Very interesting points of view. So the children won't be getting home after school, as any union member of the bus company wouldn't be crossing the picket line. Just a thought, is this going to be, will this happen? Will other unions cross the NASUWT picket lines? I've emailed Laurie Hooper, says 497, and once again, Health Minister, of course, regarding the changes to GPs and nobles. Apparently, this is the charges that when you call up GPs and mobiles. And apparently, an announcement is going to be made regarding free calls to GPs and nobles. Well, I look forward to that, says this correspondent. More messages in just regarding watch out for animals in distress. 286 sent this message in. Animals in distress are collecting food, apparently, for animals in distress. Well, I didn't know that. Send us more information, 286. Now, we've done a lot in cycling achievements. Oh, this is a leftover from last week. We've done a lot for cycling achievements, but we must remember, other than the roads, we have no facilities here for cyclists. We need to be investing in sports facilities, as it's always been the Isle of Man's strong point. We don't bat an eyelid investing in the TT. Text to 146. This is the point about the refusal on appeal of planning permission for this Olympic swimming pool in Castletown. It's going to be on land owned by KWC, but I don't think King Williams are involved in the building or the running of it. It's just their land. This was the proposed 50-metre pool that was going to be used for obviously training athletes, and it was approved. Now it's been turned down on appeal. And the point made last week was, because of the facilities and the encouragement and the training on the island, we've got a reputation for terrific world-class cyclists. But unless you have facilities for athletes, you can't grow athletes. They can't practice. They have to go across, and that involves money. And inevitably, if it involves money going across to train, then less well-off families can't afford it. And you're narrowing the opportunity for children from low-income families to become an elite sports athlete. And if we don't have a 50-metre swimming pool, there is no hope of someone from a low-income family getting into the elite sphere of swimming, because it just won't happen. The ordinary pools are too crowded, too warm, and not long enough. So what's going to happen? And 146 makes a point then. We invest in the TT. Why don't we invest in elite sport on the Isle of Man? And more messages in just regarding parking. And I was planning to go to Douglas from around 2 till 4, but we'll be on disc parking and I need to get things done. I also need to visit furniture people, which I'll do first. I could possibly fit in a quick cuppa, preferably elsewhere out of town, but I need to my full disc time downtown. Does this make sense? Not much, but I appreciate that. Thank you for that. If the planning department were a privately run company over here, they'd all be sacked, says 505. I don't know whether you heard Phil Gorn yesterday talking about brownfield sites and the fact that government will now be looking at putting some money into brownfield sites, and indeed into the what's going to happen with brownfield sites in the future. Government's got a plan to fund brownfield sites and get us out of that particular logjam where we have lots and lots of brownfield sites and not much being done with them. Plans for brownfield sites, plans which in some cases are turned down, and plans for brownfield sites that just sit there time and time, year on year. So what will happen? If you heard that show yesterday, it's a good listen. And a message in from Isabel, who said, I must congratulate Douglas Council. The garden walls will be completed by Christmas, she says. Let's just hope there are no high tides or storm surges between now and then. It was Storm Barra in 2021, which destroyed large parts of the seafront. Douglas Council says it hopes to have the refurbishment finished, particularly the sunken garden walls, by Christmas. They're working with DOI refurbishing the walls and the play area. Plans for the gardens, including a new play area with a water feature, will be happening soon. Well, we'll see, shall we? Another message in from 005 says, I was an Isle of Man firefighter for 30 years and attended many exercises and real incidents at Runnels Way, and I've never known the airport to be closed for things like this. Well, it was closed, and it was closed all yesterday. And a texter which says, just to make sure that the teachers warrant their pay rise, the government should have them fully Ofsted inspected without any warning, and also do the department's management too. The public may well see value for money, says texter 762. And a message in from this is Harry, who says, thank you, Harry. You just said, well, the exam results weren't everything they should be last year. So the teachers are asking for more pay, as far as I'm concerned, for less of a service. So how does that square, says Harry. Well, thank you, Harry. Good to hear from you. Let's... Hi, Brian.
Hello there. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Right, I've just heard you mention something about brownfield sites.
Yeah.
The government are going to give £10 million towards developers to develop these sites to try and encourage them to get on with it. You know, £10 million for the developers there to make money. I've been on about this for years. You know, for instance, the Bay Queen Hotel down, Port St. Mary down there.
Yeah.
Been sold for $225,000, lots of many years ago. The land alongside it was sold for $225,000. They developed some apartments on that, right? So that sat there for years, empty. It's a speculating on the price to go up.
Yeah.
It's eventually being developed now, thank goodness, actually. But my point being, rather than give developers money, why don't we charge them? Not rates, but charge them a privileged tax for sitting on it for so long. And give them a little bit of time to get their plans in and get it developed. But if it's not developed, you know, and the government, to be quite honest, turn down a planning application, the local authorities lose out on rates.
How long would you give speculators on land, Brian?
Listen, what I'm saying is, you know, while these places are empty, the local authorities are losing out on rates. So what I'm saying is, you push the developers to get on with it, charge them. They can't sit on it for too long. They've got to get on with the job. And the planning has to work with them. And if the central government turned down the plans passed by local authorities, that they should pay the rates to the local authorities. So, you know, while it goes on and on and on, people need to think outside the box. But we shouldn't be giving them money for developing brownfield sites. Yeah. You force them into doing it. You know, yeah. There's a plot of land in Port Erin, for instance, there now. Probably Gilshney Castle, I think it was, sold for about $300,000. Still empty. But now it's for sale, so it was demolished, maybe another $150,000, $200,000 to knock it down. It's now for sale for £1 million, if anybody wants to buy it.
So what would you do, Brian, then, if speculators and developers started to chance their arm and had a plot of land and put in an outrageous planning application for a lot more than should go on the plot, knowing full well it's going to be turned down? That could be used as a delaying tactic.
Well, no. The planning committee has to give a broad outline for developers before they buy that, what is available. There's ways around these things, and you just got to look at. You just got to commit yourself to doing it. But we shouldn't be giving them money.
Now, what you say sounds palpable common sense, Brian. So why hasn't it been done?
Because I've been on the MHKs for years about it, and they just they take no notice. Even the local authorities don't want to press it. Yes, they're the ones just losing out. You know, the Bay Queen in Port Erin, there was 360 people in there from Easter to end of October. And all, you know, the local areas lose out because there's nothing there. There's nothing happens.
Okay, all right.
You can guarantee Laurie Hooper's from Ramsey. When you think about half of Ramsey is a brownfield site, isn't it? So you can imagine his interest there, can't you?
Okay. All right. Thanks, Brian. We appreciate
that.
Good to hear from you. Wilf's on Man in Line now. Hi, Wilf.
Hi. Just a possible reason why these people can't get their swimming pool.
Yeah.
I was on the swimming pool board in Ramsey a number of years ago. And, of course, we were told we had to have a new pool. So there's five different options where it had to go. So, of course, they took the best option for the government to get rid of the Peveril plot, you see. And that's where our new pool is built. Now, forget about the pool. But we were told that it's got to be what they call a satellite pool.
Yeah.
Which is, Douglas is the planet. And we had the room, and we said, we'll have one big enough for to do the same as these other people want to do. You see, Olympic type thing. No, you can't have that. You can't have that. You can't have it long enough, wide enough, or deep enough for any of that, because it cannot compete with Douglas.
And you were told that?
We were told that. So there you go. There's your reason.
So everything centres on Douglas?
That's the one.
Mm.
And we were actually told that, and we had five different options. That's another still long story, but we had five different options of where the pool could go. None of us said we wanted it over there. We wanted it in this one of the school fields, alongside the schools, for the schools. Then there wouldn't be no need to fetch them down in buses or anything else on the job. And the Peveril plot was used for the Krimnuk and all the rest of it every year. Car boots, everything went on there, but no, they took that off us instead. They said, we've got to have it on the Peveril plot. They built it the wrong way round. It's looking at Meuron containers, not looking out to sea. There's no windows in the roof of it, so it's got to have lights on all the time, and it's a horrible building to look at. But that's what we had to put up with.
Okay, all right, thanks, Wilf.
All right.
Good to hear from you. 22 minutes before one on Man in Line today.
Concerned, confused or curious about climate change? Want to do your part? Then visit netzeromatrix.com, helping businesses and individuals understand the net zero targets that government has set, how they'll be achieved and what impact it will have upon us. Plus, get practical advice and tips for saving energy, the options available for switching to renewable energy technologies and much more. We all need to do what we can. So visit netzeromatrix.com and join us.
Spectrum Windows.
Need a monument for your loved ones? Contact T.E. Cubbon, a trusted family-run business for over 150 years. T.E. Cubbon provide new memorial stones, grave renovations, new inscriptions, and fire hearths. For quality workmanship and a professional personal service tailored to your wishes, visit us at Hope Street, Castletown, or at Broadway, Douglas. Call 844-440. T.E. Cubbon, here when you need us.
Mmm, cinnamon, mulled wine, ginger, orange, ground coffee and chocolate. The smells of Christmas. And at Sorel, the island's first custom perfumery, we've put them all into our hand-poured soy wax Christmas candles. Part of the range of beautifully packaged handmade perfumes, aftershaves and home fragrances. Perfect for gifts. Call in at Church Road, Port Erin or visit sorel.im. Sorel, the scent of the island this Christmas.
The saying goes, there's lies, dang lies and statistics, but Agenda this week is speaking to three people who beg to differ. Treasury Minister Alex Allenson and Johnny Patton, Head of Economic Advisory, tell us about the new Isle of Man government dashboard and why it's important. Also, Kelvin Corlett, Head of Statistics Isle of Man, explains how statistics are gathered and why his organisation is staunchly independent of political interference. That's Agenda at 6pm this evening with me, Phil Gorn, on Manx Radio. You never realised statistics could be so much fun. No, really.
The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com, your one-stop shop for advice on renewable energy solutions and other green initiatives.
I found the rest of that text. I was an Isle of Man firefighter for 30 years, attended many exercises and real incidents at Ronaldsway. I've never known the airport to be closed thereafter. I think someone's not running the place correctly, says Pete. Thanks for that. I was under the impression that this teachers' union, Rob, says text in this 384. I was under the impression this teachers' union that's striking has got 700 members on the Isle of Man, and they stated 82% had voted to strike over the pay deal the government had offered. We now find out under 200 teachers in this union voted to strike, and not even on the recent government offer. I think it's disgraceful union behaviour, says Rob. Well, they're striking Wednesday and Thursday of this week. Margaret says people should look at teachers' starting salary compared with that of other services, e.g. police and nurses. With the latest offer, they're on a comparatively good deal. Four unions have accepted, and the only one that hasn't is the NASUWT. You just have to listen to the interviews to realise how militant the NASUWT are. Meanwhile, children who had a bad, hard time during COVID haven't had any after-school clubs for 2 years and are now suffering days off school because of the strike action. That's Margaret with her point of view. And thank you for that, Margaret. We actually are trying to find out how many of those members are retired teachers and supply teachers, but we haven't found out yet. Management aren't allowed to ask which union teachers are members off, so don't know which teachers will be in. I've also heard that some teachers will be phoning in sick to avoid the hassle, as some vulnerable pupils will be in school. I feel sorry for the teaching assistants who will have to sort this mess out. That's Texter 406. I believe the union representative, that's Geraldine O'Neill, goes to negotiations looking for a settlement, but praying the Lord that she won't find one, says Terry. Well, may I just, I don't want to speak for Geraldine O'Neill, but you have to accept that is Geraldine O'Neill's position. Geraldine O'Neill is the negotiating secretary for the NASUWT. It's her job to negotiate. It's her job. She's not there to be pleasant or affectionate to people. She's mandated by her union and union members to get the best deal for her members, and that's her job. So we can't, there's no point getting personal about it. That's her job. What does it matter how long airport was closed for a legal safety requirement? I'd much rather they took a week over it to know it was safe rather than rush things through. So, sorry for the inconvenience. There are more important things than football, says Dick. You know there's a World Cup on, did you, Dick? These people moaning about teachers need to remember that homeschooling in lockdown, how they moaned then. Give the teachers a break, says 553. So, when is the government going to build a new entertainment complex on the Derby Castle? For young people, obviously Derby Castle, where Summerland, the two Summerlands used to be. Summerland was demolished. Do you know how long ago Summerland went? January 2006, Summerland was demolished. And the aerotone baths with it as well. They used to be lovely, those aerotone baths. Do you remember you used to be able to play five-a-side football inside Summerland? But it went, and that's it. So what's going to happen? Well, the brownfield sites, if the government's going to find money to help developers do something with the brownfield sites, then do we need to complain or do we just want to enjoy the facility when it's done? Let's face it, Summerland looks a mess. It's looked a mess for years. It's a giant car park during TT and nothing much for the rest of the year. So what do we do about Summerland? What do we do about the Lord Street site? That's in private hands. Middlemarch, plans, but no action yet. Newsons, planning, turn down, appeal, turn down. What's going to happen? And in the meantime, South Quay and Douglas, big hole. Apartments planned, but looks like a building site or a pre-building site. Has it ever occurred, says Sue, to armchair critics that poor exam results aren't always due to poor teaching? The students have missed a lot through COVID and teacher shortages in some subjects. It means that some teachers have to do their best with subjects they know little about. It also depends on the work individuals put in. Teachers can't make students do well, although good teaching helps, obviously, says Sue.
This is my last will and testament. To my family, I leave years of financial headaches, large legal bills, and the prospect of having to sell our home to pay for it all.
Is that the legacy you choose to leave? Without a proper will and thorough planning, it could happen. Mann Benham Advocates, experiencing wills, probate and estate planning with a friendly service to make sure the future of your loved ones are secure. Don't put it off. Call 639 350 for your free initial consultation with Mann Benham. Here for you.
Are you buying the right insurance for your business? What are you paying for exactly? With premiums rising year on year, it's important to make sure that you've got the right cover included in your policy. Aon will visit your business, review your insurances and provide advice on how your cover can be improved. For a free policy health check, call Aon today on 692 400. Aon Isle of Man Limited is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority as an insurance intermediary in respect of general business.
When you need a fitting memorial or headstone for a loved one, contact Manx Memorials in Peel. This long-standing family-run Manx company offer a wide range of granite and marble headstones and memorials, along with an island-wide inscription and renovation service. Manx Memorials skilled professionals will take the time to help you choose a suitable memorial, and we're proud to say we'll beat other local quotes. Call 843 861 or email matthew@manxmemorials.co.uk.
It's party time at the Villa Royal Hall on the 15th of December as RS Promotions presents Retro Night, featuring Retrospect and disco with DJ Peter Dunn. Local group Retrospect bring you an evening of soul and Motown classics to get you on the dance floor. And together with Peter Dunn, it promises to be a fantastic Christmas party night out. Book at villagaiety.com or call the box office on 600-555. Retro Night, presented by RS Promotions and supported by your nation station, Manx Radio.
The Manx Museum is 100 years old this year, and to mark this momentous occasion, Manx National Heritage have curated a special exhibition and podcast, Museum 100, which will feature a myriad of treasures like this one.
On the 12th of June 1894, whilst digging foundations for a new house in Douglas, the hoard was uncovered. It was described as one of the most dramatic Manx archaeological finds of all time.
The Museum 100 podcast, a century of our national collections highlighting life and culture on the Isle of Man. Download or subscribe now from the Manx Radio website and listen whenever you want. Museum 100 podcast, celebrating a century of curation of our nation.
The Man in Line, brought to you by NetZeroMatrix.com. The world's leading carbon register and validation ecosystem.
11 minutes before one, a message in from Jack who said employers shouldn't be made to carry the can for government failure to negotiate with the teaching unions. If people need time off, let them claim from the government. Companies are already under pressure like everybody else. There's not a never-ending pot of gold out there. Govern as you are being paid, Minister, and stop laying the problem at everyone else's door, says Jack.
This is the Isle of Man talking. The Man in Line.
Julian's on now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. About the Southern Swimming Pool. The conversation about, you know, the 50-metre pool at King William's College.
Yeah.
It's not really like for like, though. I think the focus has to be that Southern Swimming Pool is a community pool. The King William's College thing would have been a bit more like the Comus Hotel or the Palace, where you have to pay, you know, you have to pay a membership, and on top of that, you'd have to pay an entrance fee or whatever. And what I'm also noticing is, you remember some time ago we talked about the website, the southernswimmingpool.im website? And if you have a look at that and go into opening hours, we mentioned that the Wednesday was more or less done until 4 PM and Sunday is completely closed. But on the latest one, which is the 28th onwards, this week's one, Thursday mornings, and I've noticed this for a couple of weeks now, Thursday morning, nothing till 9 AM. So the early bird bit is disappearing as well. So those white sort of not available and the red seem to be increasing, if anything.
Well, as it stands at the moment, the early bird sessions are only Monday, Tuesday and Friday, because obviously Saturday and Sunday's gone anyway, and Saturday doesn't open until 9.
And if you remember, Carrie was on and she was saying she'd be devastated if she lost her early morning swims. Well, it's creeping in, isn't it? And, you know, people like me are keeping a notice on this. It's just creeping along. And it does seem that there seems to be a common element here. We've got problems with the pool. Who knows if it's going to spill over into the other pools with the cost of gas, etc. You've got another problem, which is the education thing, and everything's up. And there's a common denominator with this. And I have to say, it's Julie Edge. So she's going to have to sort of work better. I mean, you know, there was a time when the Isle of Man was called Isle of Man PLC. If you had a PLC company and you had this kind of constant not really working very well, well, there used to be that expression, heads roll.
Do you, do you accept that the future of the Southern Pool may be wrapped up in the future of a new Castle Rushen High School, Julian?
Could well be, but you have to do things in order. You can't just let one just rot and then eventually, years later, you end up with a new pool and school. It seems to me that something has to be done with the pool very quickly. You can't leave it closed on a Sunday. And the fact that they're having to bus all the Buchan kids on a Wednesday morning because they've decided not to open on a Wednesday, it seems curious considering we're so concerned with, you know, saving petrol and diesel and trying to keep our green footprint. So,
well, the fact is, I think we've trod this path many times before. Swimming ticks every sort of box. First of all, it's good for physical health. It's good for mental health. If it's a local pool, your carbon footprint is smaller. The downside is nobody's really ever made a profit running a pool. So it will require some public funding.
But it already does. I mean, it's a public facility. It's had public funding, except, of course, it's been what you might say asymmetrical to a couple of the other community pools. I mean, they've had a significantly more than the Southern one has.
Yes, as has been proved with the amount that went to the new door at Ramsey.
147,000. And I think that semi-detached in Port St Mary's still off at 150,000. So how on earth a door cost that? I don't know. But that sort of puts it into perspective. But something really needs to move here. I mean, regardless of the report, really, weeks and months are moving on. The pool is getting less and less. Eddie was very eloquent the other day saying exactly what's going on. Something needs to be done quickly before the report, in my opinion.
Okay, well, it would be nice if we could hear. I mean, we've opened Man in Line up to the swimming pool board if they want to put their case and say. And I think that, and again, my point is, there's no point in people falling out and being impolite to one another. We need to find a solution so that the pool can do its job.
Yes, but Julie Edge is curiously silent on this. I don't know where she is, but you know, it would be reassuring for her to maybe come on and just say what is going on.
But, I mean, surely the unthinkable could never happen. They could never close the Southern Pool, Julian.
No, but there's this, what's that expression, death by a thousand cuts.
Yeah, I know. Okay, all right. Well, we'll keep our eye on it, and let's hope that we get the swimming pool report for Christmas. We can maybe send a letter to Santa for it.
Yeah, well, cross your fingers.
All right.
Thanks, Andy.
Good to talk to you. 6 minutes before one. Well, if you take a look at the Southern Pool website, you'll see the opening hours are shrinking. Not open on a Wednesday until 4 o'clock. Thursday morning doesn't open until 9. Sunday morning, not open at all. Sunday, not open at all. Saturday morning doesn't open until 9. So those early birds, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday and Sunday have all gone. So, well, who knows what's going to happen to the Southern Swimming Pool. Something good, we would think anyway. More messages in regarding the teacher strike. And one, I wonder what the overtime bill. Oh, more asking about the overtime bill for the exercise at the airport. I want to go to just regarding, hopefully others who are members of the other unions won't cross the picket lines, says this texter on 397. We'll find out. There's going to be a Manx Radio reporter on the picket lines on Wednesday and Thursday. I would agree with the strike if the days taken are removed from the teachers' own holidays. Then let's see how many days they take striking. I don't think they get full pay for the strike days, so they will be making a financial loss on it. Last week, government suggested Isle of Man would have 10,000 electric cars by 2030. I must have missed the details of the project to provide extra energy capacity, says G. A text in from Ronnie, who said, a very interesting proposal for Jerby. What is it? Over 100 new houses, all heat source pumps and solar panels. Jerby shows the way for the Isle of Man. More details about that on Manx Radio News throughout the day. On the issue of paying developers to build, says Helen, this is another case of the tail wagging the dog. All this money belongs to the taxpayer, and more scrutiny and accountability towards governments needed. We have a lot of people struggling, and we have to look to meeting their health and well-being needs. Having Olympic swimming pools and cycle tracks not currently a priority and benefits the few, says Helen. Interesting, though, but that Olympic swimming pool was going to be paid for out of private money. I don't think they wanted any money from the government at all. But we'll find out. And text us 718, by the way, get a new phone. You're only sending digital mess. But I thank you for your efforts. Manx Telecom aren't Manx Telecom anymore, says Texter 775. Well, it hasn't been a Manx Telecom for years. It hasn't been owned on the Isle of Man for years. Appreciate it, 775. And thanks to producer Chris Quirk, back with another open line tomorrow at high noon.